see Linda, and I see Patricia, and I see Nell, and I see Nina, and I see Pat, and Roberta, and Dolores, and Lucille, and Jean. So many good, godly women. We just don't understand what we owe to the people who go before us. What we have at this moment in time was purchased and paid for by the travails sometimes of those who've gone before us. And I know there are so many others, and I didn't mean to make that an exclusive list. It's not possible. But there are so many, many wonderful people. In Andy's scripture, as he read that, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 11 says that great cloud of witnesses. And those people are our cloud of witnesses. They are among that cloud of witnesses who are watching us and encouraging us and cheering us on in this life, in this race that we live in. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 says, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind." And as I try to think of what that really was talking about, and obviously the term unity comes to mind, and certainly that's a biblical term that we use and a term that I'll use here today. But in practical terms, I thought of it more a sense of keeping people on the same page. You know, that's a tremendous gift. And I find, and I'm generalizing about genders, and I apologize if I do that, but sometimes our female gender is more capable of keeping us focused than the men. My wife can clean a house in a record period of time. When you ask her what her secret is, she says, "Well, you start in one corner and you go to the opposite corner." That's how you do it. And I've tried that many, many, many times. And you go to the first corner and you pick something up and you put it in its place and you see something else that needs to be done. And so this needs to be carried to the kitchen, and you carry it to the kitchen and you pick up something that carries back to the utility room. And before long, you've done a whole bunch of little stuff, but she's finished just because of the focus that was there. And when I thought about this passage, I thought about the unity, but I thought about the power of keeping us on the same page. Because one of Satan's best tricks is diverting us. You know, if he can just move our focus somewhere else, then he's going to be happy about that. As I thought about a woman from the Bible that illustrated this point to me, I thought of Deborah. Deborah is one of the judges. Now, Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. Now, think about what an incredible accomplishment that was for her to be the leader of the nation at a period of time when that was an unheard of kind of thing. But there's a reason for that. Part of it appears to be the fact that there weren't people who were stepping forward and being leaders. And so she took that responsibility. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. The people of Israel are misbehaving during this time, as you know, if you continue to read chapter 4 there. And Deborah's going to lead them into battle. She tries to pass the responsibility off to Barak. And Barak's like, "Oh, I'm not going unless you're going." And she says, "Well, okay, I'm going, but you got to know that the victory's going to be in the hands of a woman." And he's like, "Well, that's okay. I'm afraid of Sisera. I don't want to fight the guy. I need for you to be there." If you go to Judges chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Villagers in Israel would not fight." This is Deborah's victory song that appears in the next chapter. "Villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back until I, Deborah, arose, until I arose a mother in Israel." When the moms in Israel said, "This isn't right. This isn't the way it's supposed to be." She didn't sit back and wait for somebody who was supposed to do it. She didn't sit back and wait for the appropriate or the proper individual to come forward. She said, this has to be done. God has a job to do. And how many times have you seen that? How many times have you seen women step forward and say, this needs to be done, and I'm going to get it done because it's important to God. It's important to the church. Sometimes we just need help in staying on the same page. Now, I know what you're thinking, probably. There are people out there, not just women, but men as well, who, when it comes to staying on the same page, they handle it kind of like, well, this is my page, and we're all going to stay on it. And if you don't like it, there's going to be a lot of trouble. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the abilities that we utilize in helping to pull people together and keep their same focus. And I think we can utilize what's in this passage because there's three words that kind of describe this. Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Look at those three words, love, spirit, and mind. And I think those are the places that we begin. We begin with love. I was blessed to have a wonderful mother-in-law. Did we ever disagree? Sure. But at no point in time in that process of 48 years were there ever any hard words exchanged. I had Joyce's cat at the vet about a year ago, and the vet was going on about what a nice lady Joyce was and all that kind of stuff. And one of the secretaries there who didn't know Joyce, she said, how long were you married to your daughter? And I said, well, when she passed away, it was 48 years. And she said, and you never had a harsh word? And I said, absolutely not. She said, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I think you're making that up. And the vet said, no, you didn't know Joyce. You know, if you'd met Joyce, if you'd been with Joyce, you'd have a different understanding of how that really works. She was a very loving person, and she really did believe in the power of love. And she believed in the fact that you could encourage and motivate and move people through the love that you had in their life. Joyce had a neighbor in Houston in the 80s, lady who lived across the street. She was a Jewish lady, and she had a tattoo. And if you're familiar with Jewish people, you know that that's because of prohibitions in the Old Testament. That's just not something that you'll find as being very common. But it was a tattoo that was given to her without her consent. It wasn't a picture, it wasn't a drawing, it wasn't a symbol, it wasn't words. It was six rough numbers on the inside of her left arm, which signified that she was a worker at Auschwitz and she was not to be exterminated. She was there to do her job. And as you might imagine, and some of you who've studied that and know about that history, that leaves those people in kind of a quandary in their own nation and of their own people, because some would view them as being Nazi cooperatives. Others viewed them in totally different ways. I was in an airport about 10 years ago, and I saw a young man who had a very similar kind of tattoo, these rough letters across his forearm. And I went over to him, and I said, is that significant to you in some way? And he said, that's my grandfather's six Auschwitz numbers. Joyce reached out to that lady in an amazing kind of way. She was her friend. She got along with her extremely well. She let her talk. She let her share things. She really just did what she always did. She just loved her. Can you love somebody onto the same page? Yeah, you can. Colossians chapter 2, verse 22. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. You know, what about spirit? You know, one of the most unfortunate stories of the Old Testament was referenced in the passage, or New Testament rather, was referenced in the passage that that Bert shared with us, that passage from Luke chapter 8, when it mentions those women who were in support of Jesus and the accomplishments and the sacrifice that they made. But it mentions specifically Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene has been mistreated in so many different ways. First of all, she's from a bad town. And because she's from a bad town, people have said she was a bad person. Well, we all know what towns are like. Would you like to have a reputation based on what town you were born in or the town you grew up in? She also has had some things that have been extracted from the Bible and applied to her that we have no idea if that's real or valid or not. What we know is that Jesus healed her, cast out these demons, and that at that point in time, she wanted to be a servant, and she was from that moment forward. She was blessed to be the messenger of his resurrection. She had the courage to show up at the crucifixion. She wanted to serve so much that she was going to the grave at the first available moment so that she could minister to the broken body of Jesus. And there she heard the words, "He's not here." And she was able to go to the disciples and say, "I've seen the Lord." The Spirit is what works within us. The spiritual side of us is the side that empowers us to be and give and to accomplish the things that God wants us to accomplish. The third one is mind. Such an important part of us. Serve God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, our intellectual center. So important. I'm reminded of a woman by the name of Margaret Mack. And she's the mother of DeVerl James and Deborah Parker. Had the blessing of knowing her for a very long time. And Sister Mack understood a lot of things. But one of the things she understood is that your mind is so important. She knew that success, she knew that the future was wrapped up in what you did with your mind. You had to use your mind. You had to strengthen your mind. You had to educate your mind. And when you did that, you opened new vistas for what you could accomplish. She and her husband worked so hard to be able to make that a reality because she really did understand how powerful that was. Can thinking and using our mind keep us on the same page? Yeah. Sometimes we get caught up in the emotion, and it's so often the conflict that develops among us as individuals is based on our emotions, not on our thinking. And often if we can refocus on what we're thinking about instead of getting caught up in what we're feeling, we can stay on the same page. Unity is where we have power and protection and help and refuge. Romans chapter 15, 5 and 6. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate not just moms, but we celebrate these gifted, capable, loving, caring women who've given so much to our development, who've shaped us with their example, who've motivated us with their behavior. They've really set for us literally shining examples. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, Moses says, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." We need to lift up to others, the people that we've known, the things they've accomplished, the things that they've done, the impact that they've had on our lives, to point to what they achieved in this life, and more importantly, where they are right now at this very moment. Because that's where we want to be, and they model for us the pattern of how do you get there. Well, what do you want for Mother's Day? There's been a lot of research done in that. And in fact, in the last couple of years, there was a group of researchers who decided they were going to do a more expansive study than the ones that have been done before. You know, a lot of times it's just a survey. You know, check off some things or answer some quick questions. They decided they were going to have interviewers who were actually going to sit down and talk with hundreds of mothers and find out what people really wanted for Mother's Day. And the first thing they found that they weren't looking for is what they didn't want for Mother's Day. Because in these conversations, so many people said, what I don't want is to hear again, you're doing the most important job in the world. I know that. I don't need to hear that again. I don't need to have that encouragement over and over again. Let it go. So what do you need? Overwhelming answer to that question was simply some help. I don't need a fancy day. I don't need a spa treatment. I don't need this or that or some more chocolate-covered strawberries. I need some help. Well, as today, if you look around and say, what could I do? How about some help? There are people here, and you've seen this too, who've already figured this out. And they help families. They help moms. One of the nice things about our era is that dads have actually gotten to the point where they do some helping. When my dad was the dad and the king, he went to work and came home, and the only thing he was ever involved in was discipline. And my mother could say, I need some help, and he'd say, well, I brought a paycheck home. You know, that was kind of it. The 50s and the 60s, fortunately, we got past that, and that's good. And dads are willing to help, and that's a wonderful thing and a wonderful place and a wonderful opportunity. But as a church family, we also have those opportunities. And I see people doing that. I see people in this church family who reach out and try to provide support, try to provide help in any number of ways. And that's what increases our connection, and that's what increases our power. That's what increases the success of the families and the children that are educated within this church family. Because they see that, and they acknowledge that. And they model that. Let's thank God together for the great women who have set such a beautiful example for us to follow. Let's accept the challenge of raising the subsequent generations, not just because they're our children, but because they're the family of our church family. We all have a part in that process. Would you pray with me? Dear God, our Father in heaven, we know that you have an eternal plan. We know that you built and created families. We know that you created mothers for a special purpose and a special reason. And Father, we acknowledge the tremendous power that they have and the tremendous impact that they've had in our lives. And Father, we just pray that we can help to create the kind of circumstances and the kind of places and the kind of interactions that will allow for that leadership to be fully and completely effective. Again, we thank you for these important people in our lives, our personal lives. We thank you for the important people in the life of our church family. Father, we know that as you raise up others to lead and to guide and to shape, that you would be with them as they go through that process, that you'd be with the young families that are currently in the challenge of raising godly children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Father, we just ask for your gifts and for your blessings. We pray that we might move past our own inabilities and follow what you have in mind for us. And we pray this through your precious Son. Amen. We offer God's invitation. If you need to respond to that, we encourage you to do that while we stand and sing together.